This is a sermon for the second Sunday after Epiphany, and the scripture it reflects on is 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 20. So often, Christianity comes across as being negative about our bodies, and especially sex and our sexuality, that when we hear yet another warning against sex in some form, as we did today in Paul's comments about prostitutes, it's easy to kind of let that blur into the background negativity. But Paul wasn't really being negative, he was trying to emphasize a positive and point out that the positive of relationship with God then unfolds in particular ways. His argument about why you can't run around having a good time with prostitutes is not really about sex at all, but his point is that you can't become one with something that's incompatible with God at the same time as becoming one with God, because anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. The thing about this becoming one spirit with God, though, is that it helps us to understand what the Christian life is really all about. Salvation is an immense gift, but sometimes we tend to think of it only in terms of what happens after we die, getting into heaven, or at least staying out of hell. But what Paul is trying to get across here is that salvation is not just about that. It's a fundamental reshaping of our lives now, so that our lives now become a participation in the life of God. The body is not meant for fornication, but for the Lord, Paul said in today's reading. And elsewhere he refers to our bodies as weapons of righteousness. A weapon is wielded with a purpose, and the implication of Paul's words is that God wields, or at least sends us, into the world with a purpose too. One that shouldn't be undermined by getting involved in things incompatible with that purpose. This all means that becoming one spirit with God, participating in God's very life, is ultimately about action, about being in the world, doing the things God would have us do. As this is what it means to be Christian, then we can't say that Christian belief or faith is just a matter of assenting to the creed without crossing your fingers, or even of trusting God's goodness. It has to be more than that. A taking up or embrace of our whole being into God's being in such a radical way that we consistently act as living extensions of God's life in our world. That's what it means that we have died and yet have been raised to new life. It is a new life, the life of God with its priorities and loves and joys. In his other letter to the Corinthians, well, the Ave anyway, Paul puts it this way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed. Thing old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Participating in God's new creation, becoming one spirit with God, means our transformation. And in different places in his letters, Paul talks about how that transformation means we become the glory and the righteousness and the justice of God. Ultimately, we become the image of God. The image of God that we were originally created to be before sin and the fall meant our alienation and disfiguration from that image. So we become like Christ, the perfect image of the invisible God, by participating in the life of Christ. And here's the thing, all of this points us towards mission. To be transformed into the image of God revealed in Christ, to participate in God's new creation and to become God's righteousness. To discern and do God's will, to present our bodies to God as a temple for the Holy Spirit and as weapons to be wielded for his purposes. All of these things mean that we're meant to be playing an active part in what God is up to in the world. Becoming one spirit with God means that God's purposes become our purposes and God's priorities become our priorities. God's mission becomes our mission. Those of us who believe the gospel and are baptized enter into a life of participation in God's mission, along with all the other people who have also entered into that life. That means that our salvation, our renewal in Christ in and of itself, is not the point. It's part of a much broader and deeper divine agenda to bring together a body of people who participate in the new creation, doing God's will in the world. And let me push this just a little bit further. This is for all Christians, not just for the clergy or the particularly educated or gifted, but each Christian person, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, participates in the new creation and carries out a living witness to the gospel. This is what it means to be part of the church. Every single person has a part to play in the mission of God. Do you know what your part is today? Do you feel equipped for it? If not, what do you need in the way of equipping? That's not entirely a rhetorical question, by the way. My role in this mission is to see to it that you are equipped. So if you see that your knowledge or skill or confidence is lacking in some way, tell me, and together we'll find a way to work on that. But to come back around to the prostitutes, this is why Paul says no. Not because it's a matter of being kind of a puritanical killjoy, but because it's incompatible with the mission. To exploit a woman's body, or a person's body really, for pleasure, does nothing to recognize or honor that person as an image of God, or to encourage that person towards becoming a co-worker with you in God's purposes for our world. Anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. It's a process of becoming. We grow into it over time. But what I wonder now is, where do we need to grow into it some more here in this parish in order for us to live that out most fully? What needs to happen for us to move another step closer to being one spirit with the Lord? I leave that with you to reflect on.